I remember when I was saved, back when I was 16, a couple of weeks after I had received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was only 16, and so I just, really doesn't matter what age you are, because the enemy loves to attack things when they're in their infancy. The enemy always comes after things that are in the acorn stage before that thing can become a mighty oak tree. He did that even with Jesus when the wise men came, which also shows us that there was more than three wise men, so don't believe the paintings or your Hallmark cards, right? Because when the wise men came, the whole town was in an uproar. You're not in an uproar when three guys on camels come in. But when an entire caravan comes in, everyone notices. And King Herod noticed, and when he heard, he killed all of the children that were two and under. But it was really Satan working through him, always wanting to squash things in their infancy. And that really has nothing to do with my message, but I just want to reiterate this, that we need to take care of people who are new to the Lord, people who've just recently gotten baptized, people who are new to the faith, because the attack is on them. And I remember when I was a couple of weeks old in the Lord, all of a sudden, everything that seemed so real to me didn't, and I didn't know how to process that, and my emotions were all over the place, and all of a sudden, all this doubt and unbelief started to creep in, and so I went downstairs. We lived on the 12th floor in Forest Hills here in Queens, and I didn't want my father to know because he was dead set against me becoming a Christian, at least a Christian of the saved, Bible-believing variety. And so I went downstairs to use the payphone that's in the lobby, and I called up one of my friends that I met at the church where I came to faith. And I just began to pour out my complaints and my troubles and what was bothering me. And he just listened and listened, and there was this silence. And I remember so distinctly, I can still hear his voice in my ear today. After a silence, he just asked me, "Have you been praising the Lord? Have you been praising the Lord?" And I just thought, I just told you all this junk, and you ask me if I've been a hallelujah, praise the Lord guy? Like, apparently not. And I didn't come from that culture. And I thought I kind of knew what he meant, but I needed some further expounding. I needed him to explain himself. What do you mean? Like, I can only come to church once a week. What do you mean, I praise the Lord when I'm in church. What do you mean, have I been praising the Lord? And he began to just touch on some truths about the power of praise that really set me straight. And that, for lack of a better term, I feel that the old timers had a really strong handle on. There was such a power to praise. There was such a breakthrough associated with praising the Lord. And there seem to be different waves that come in Christianity, but we can't be moved by cultural waves or even waves of revelation that come and go. But the Word of God, it stands forever. Amen. And if something is in the Word, it's to be practiced forever. And really, I just want us to be reignited in our own lifestyle of praise. Hey, praise carves a pathway into victory. Praise, it opens the door to God's unmerited favor and his grace. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures concerning praising God. Acts 16 and 25. And this message really goes out especially to anyone who's in a hard place right now. And things seem dark and things seem bleak. And the last thing you want to do is praise the Lord. And I want to tell you that the scriptures are full of examples, especially in the life of David, of praising the Lord, where in the natural it seems like the last thing you want to do, and it is the craziest thing you could ever do. Praising God shouldn't be tied to our emotions. The best praise comes out when you're in a dark place. The best praise comes out when you don't feel like praising him. But we separate our emotions. Look, how I feel doesn't change who he is. What I'm going through, it doesn't alter that he is creator God, that he is the loving God, that he is the one who came to earth, became flesh, went to the cross as my substitute, died in exchange for my sin. I became his righteousness. He took on me. It doesn't change that. Amen. And so no matter what's going on around us, If we would learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and out loud begin to actually praise God, it will change things. And by the way, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I just want to hit some things right now. There has been this push to make Christianity, they say culturally relevant, but really they mean cool. And there's such a push to make Christianity cool. And fine, yeah, I understand. I watch old TBN clips from the 80s, and it's like, ooh, man, we were hokey. Ooh, ooh, I get it. Fine, be more culturally relevant. But there is an element of Christianity that will just never be cool. Because by definition, when you praise, you become unhinged. You become unbridled. You let go. You quit protecting yourself. You quit being in control. And that's hard for some people to hear. Oh, I don't want to lose control. That was hard for me coming from an Eastern Orthodox church. I remember the first time I raised my hands in church. I remember. Because when you come from former Yugoslavia, where I came from, there's two traps. When you come from there to America, there's two things they warn you about. There's two traps in America. One, drugs. Two, becoming a religious fanatic. And they're like on the same, and those are the two things, the two pitfalls of, so I mean, I was raised that way. You know, some of these people, they'll go out there. So when I remember, I was in church, several months old, and I just felt like, man, I really love you, Lord. And there's people raising their hands, but you know, I don't want to become a religious fanatic, so I just tried it out with one first. Just let me see if, all right, this feels awkward, but not so bad, you know? And you slowly eased into it all the time, looking and see, people don't care. Just remember, when you're in church, people are too busy thinking about themselves. They're not looking at you. I'm kidding. Not here, though. We're thinking of the Lord. Amen. I remember, but I had to break through like these cultural guardrails and these limitations that had nothing to do with Scripture or the Bible. Amen. Acts 16:25, we have the dynamic duo, Paul and Silas. They had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel and for sharing their faith. They're in shackles, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Well, that's nice. But they also did something else, and sang praises. And it's the "and sang praises" and "praise the Lord" that I believe could be a missing ingredient to many people's lives. It's not just about praying. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And if you keep on reading, not only did the prisoners hear them, but heaven heard them. Heaven heard them and heaven responded. And the place where they were was shaken, and God caused an earthquake, and their shackles were loosed. Praise opens up the door to the supernatural power of God in your life. And this is why Satan hates praise. This is why when you're going through it, he wants to shut your lips. He wants to put that devilish crazy glue on them and just get you morose and get you not opening your mouth and not praising God, because that's when he has you. But praise is a magnet for the supernatural and for the power of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Judges. Judges chapter 1 and verse 1. This is how the book of Judges starts. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" So the children of Israel are going up against the enemies of God. And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." Judah means praise. That's what that tribe means. What's the Lord communicating to us here? That when you are entrenched all around by the enemy, when you are in a dark place, before any great endeavor, who's going to go up first? Send Judah up first. Carve and pave the pathway first with praise. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory." And Simeon went with him. Then praise went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men, 10,000 of the enemies of God at Bezek. Send praise up first. Praise changes you. Praise alters your entire environment. Maybe you've heard the phrase, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And I've heard that as well. And I get what it's trying to convey, but really that's not scriptural reality. God is not a merchant where he's holding something back from you. And he's not really narcissistic and insecure where you got to tell him how awesome he is enough. And then these blessings that he's been holding back, he's counting the amount of praises you send up. And maybe when his ego is healed enough, he'll throw down a few blessings. So, you know, when the praises go up, the blessings come. I mean, what a petty picture of the Almighty God. The reality is when the praises go up, they change you. Yeah. They cause you to be on the same frequency as Almighty God. You have already, past tense, according to Ephesians 1:3, you have already been blessed. Past tense, blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, but you're not receiving them. It's like there is a devilish force field when you're not in a place of praise, and the blessings from God can't reach you. They're bouncing off of you. But when you attune yourself to the Holy Spirit and begin to praise God, now you're on the same frequency and wavelength as him. Now you're opened up to receive all that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross to have. Amen. Praise doesn't change God. He's forever the same, but praise changes us, and it changes the atmosphere around us. And you can be dealing with a problem, a level 10 problem out there. But when you take time out to praise God yourself, I'm talking very practical here. I'm not saying putting on your favorite Christian YouTube channel to play and create a nice atmosphere in the background and do the praising for you. I'm talking about you going to a private place. Back before City Light, when I worked in the world, I remember having to do that at times and sneak into the bathroom. I'd go into the bathroom and check underneath all the stalls, make sure I saw no feet, knew I was alone, and then I'd have a little 30-second praise session, amen. Because I knew it would change things. Hallelujah. I want to show you the Hebrew word for praise. If you can put that up there, the Hebrew word for praise is yada. And we talked a few weeks back about how every Hebrew character has a corresponding pictogram and also a corresponding number when we were talking about the name of God, Yud Heh Vav Heh. Praise, and remember Hebrew is read from right to left. Praise in the Hebrew is Yud Dalet Heh. And the word, or the picture, excuse me, for Yud is hand. Isn't that something? And we are told to raise our hands over and over again. Throughout the scriptures, David said, this is how I'll bless you while I live. I'll lift up my hands to your name. Paul said everywhere, without doubting, men lifting up holy hands. There's something about lifting, which is why, again, the enemy doesn't want you lifting your hand. He didn't want me lifting my hand. There's something about it. There's something powerful. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the powers of the air. I don't know, you lift up your hand and it's messing with his territory, waving your hands in the air. Yud, hand, dalet, door. Hey is the number 5, which is a number for grace. The word praise is yud, dalet, hey, or the hand that opens the door to grace. Praise is the hand that opens the door to unmerited and undeserved favor in your life. It doesn't change God. It changes you. It opens doors up for you. Hallelujah. So let's never lose that. Being a hallelujah, praise the Lord church. When I first became a Christian, that's what people asked me. Do you go to a hallelujah? That's their, do you go to a hallelujah, praise the Lord church? I don't know. Do you go a sit down silent like you've been baptized in lemon juice church? I thank God for Pastor Mo with the sound effects. Praise God. I mean, people talk about styles. Oh, is that your church style? Forget about church styles. How about the Bible style? Yes. Oh, no, this isn't my culture. What, your culture? What about Bible culture? It even addresses someone like me who can't sing. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. I could at least make a joyful noise. Well, why do you use all these instruments? Because we're actually commanded to in the Bible. And it lists over and over again, lists all the instruments. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, I'm just shy. I'm not expressive. I'm shy. If your finger got jammed in the subway doors as they're closing, you would become so unshy so quickly. You would scream, you would move, you'd flail your head, dance in place. All of a sudden, you've been delivered, right? You've been just delivered of your timidity. This is the alabaster box, our own pride, our own desire to be in control, to not really let go, that God wants us to break. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read, let's go this time to Proverbs 34. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 4. This is David at a low point in his life. He really one of the lowest points in his life. He had just feigned madness in front of the king of Gath. The king of Gath was, incidentally, Goliath's king. The Bible says he was scratching at the ground, letting drool come down his beard. He pretended that he was an insane person. I mean, just think about that. This man who was anointed to be king, running for his life, running through the wilderness, slaying Goliath, but then it wasn't an immediate victory after that. He was persecuted. Now, he pretends he's insane, and 400 of not A-listers, not winners, not top of their class, 400 of the most destitute, it says all who are in debt, who were destitute, who were depressed, that was his team. That's who joined themselves to him, and now he's hiding out in the cave of Adullam, wanting to quit, wanting to cave in a cave. And these are the first words out of his mouth. The first words, listen to me now. When you get a bad report, when something disturbs your peace, when it seems as though you've lost something, when you get shaken, the first words out of your mouth are always key. And let those first words be a declaration of praise and a declaration of God's goodness. It'll change. I remember once I was driving my car and somebody hit me just as I was driving. And I was training myself. And as they hit me, I heard, you know, if you've ever been hit while driving a car, it is 20 times louder than you ever expected to be. The whole car rattled, boom. And I just went, God will make this out to the good. Hallelujah. I was training let the first words out of your mouth. You get, hallelujah. We were just going through this, right? Your social media for your business was shut down and people were trying to hack in. And during Black Friday, when really it was like peak time in the year, and we just made a decision right away, praise is going to come out first. I mean, what's the option? The option is to be downcast and speak death and draw that into our lives, or we can do what the Bible says to do, which incidentally then would change our entire circumstance. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times in a cave with 400 bums. No future to speak of. Just having pretended he was a mental patient. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it hits you, don't go to the phone. This, you know, I heard this from my old pastor back in the 90s. It holds even more truth today. He used to say, honey, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. I was like, yeah. Even more today, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. Don't mindlessly zone out and scroll for hours on end. Don't text your friends about your problem. Go and praise the Lord in the midst of your problems. Your praise will open the door to grace. Hallelujah. Our word praise comes from the French plaisir, where we get the word appraise. To praise or appraise something means to decipher its value. After taking a careful look at it and studying it and gathering information about it, you can then appraise or praise it. And when you go to praise the Lord, you have to have some understanding, having studied the very nature of God, his eternal qualities and characteristics, which is why it's so important to go into the Word. I want you just to call out, we're going to have a little praise sesh here together, all right? Call out some of the eternal qualities and characteristics of God. He is, he's holy. Amen. Who else? Someone else said something? He's righteous. He's almighty. He's omnipresent. He's worthy. What else can you say about God? He's good. He is faithful. The Bible even says his name is faithful and true. He's so faithful. If you have a little mileage with the Lord, you realize he's just so faithful. Hallelujah. Who else? This happened in the first service. Why is that? The anointing just starts to, as the people of God, call out the attributes of God. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He's holy. What else about him? Healer. He's a healer. Go ahead. He's, say that again, Pastor Mo. Patient. Amen. So patient. Loving. Amen. Generous. And so when you go to praise the Lord, I'm talking about taking out a set time and just going to praise him. You start off in the flesh. Everything. You start off worship in the flesh. It all starts off in the flesh, but that's not where it should end. You start off in the flesh, and you got distractions, and you got your mind swirling, and the enemy trying to get you to not do anything. And then you just remind yourself of the holy attributes of God. And you just let it, like a fountain, begin to bubble up out of your innermost being, out of your spirit, man, out of your belly. Lord, you are God. You are eternal. I love you. Lord, you made us man out of the dust of the earth. Almighty God. And you're faithful. Even when man fell, you still pursued us. And you came to this earth. You came in the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you died on the cross for my sins. Lord, I praise you. Lord, and because of Jesus, all of my sins are forgiven and I am now holy. Hallelujah. And I'm accepted in the beloved. Lord, and your word says that that victory Jesus purchased on the cross, he's transferred over now to me. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that I'm not alone. Lord, your word says you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, your word says you're with me even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Lord, your word says that you give us the victory always in Christ. Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, and your word says you are love. It says I'm the apple of your eye. It says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. And you begin just to praise him and to praise. This will make all the difference in the world, in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my friend asked me, have you been praising the Lord? And I want to ask you the same thing. You know, you can praise the Lord as you're drifting off to sleep. You can praise the Lord when you're driving or on the subway. It doesn't have to be how I just demonstrated. I remember when I was young in the Lord, hanging around with older men of God, it was just beautiful. Whenever they'd have a moment alone, I'd just look at them and just under their breath, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Have like a little curved smile and just be praising him. And then I wondered, and I thought, no wonder every time I even get near them, I sense the holiness of God and the presence of God just emanating off of them because they stay in that zone of being grateful and thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take a look at how to praise the Lord. Hebrews 13, 5. Hebrews 13, 5. It says, therefore, by him, by Jesus. And you know, that's what it means when we pray. Jesus said, when you pray in the name of Jesus, We always come to the Father in the name of Jesus. It means that whenever we approach God, everything we do, we're doing through what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're coming in his name and what he accomplished for us in our place. So let's come to him, God the Father, by him, through Jesus. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, not in the church I was saved, but later I went to a church in Long Island, and there was this worship leader, one of those real motivational types. You know, one thing I appreciate about Sean is he just goes to heaven, and you can come with him if you like, but he's not really going to cheerlead you and rah, 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 and hype you into, you know. But we had a bit of a cheerleader, and he talked a lot. He half preached, half... And he would always say, look, you might come in and you're sleepy and you're tired and you don't feel like it, but you got to offer up the sacrifice of praise. And it was presented in that way. And can I just tell you, although that might sound good, it's not scriptural. Offering up the sacrifice of praise doesn't mean praising God when you don't feel like it. In context here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, the priests of which you are under the old covenant. Book of Hebrews, one of the themes is a big compare and contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant. The priests would always go with a sacrifice in their hands, either a lamb or a goat or even a bird or any innocent animal. He had just finished teaching that Jesus once and for all offered himself up. And after that, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And there is no more need for a sacrifice. Jesus did it. He cried, it is finished. There is no more need for any kind of ritualistic animal sacrifice. Everybody say, thank God, I was born AD. So what is the sacrifice that you bring? The sacrifice that you bring as a new covenant priest, of which you are, is the fruit of your lips, is your praise. Every time you praise, you are functioning as a priest, but it's not an animal sacrifice, it's giving thanks unto God. Hallelujah. And note also that very specifically, the writer of Hebrews says, it's the fruit of your lips. That means you're gonna open them. You gotta open your mouth. And this seems so elementary, yet, if you're honest, how many times does the enemy try to get you to shut up? He's always trying to get you to shut up, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and then they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. He's always wanting to be quiet. You look at the book of Acts, all the words that they were hurling and shouting at the persecuted church were quiet, shut up, stop talking about that name, stop teaching in that name, shh, be quiet. You're given a holy and sacred responsibility as a believer, and to open up your mouth. And the more resistance you feel to that, push back on it all the more. And open up your mouth and praise him. Say, how do I know? How do I know I'm on the right track? When you start to feel really strange and undignified and goofy, you're on the right track. Amen. You're doing good. Let's look at Psalm 103, verse 1. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with his whole soul, with his whole being, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How to praise God? Out loud with your lips. How? Unashamedly, unabashedly, with your whole being. Another time David began to praise the Lord, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He was offering up praise. When it says he encouraged himself in the Lord, he didn't grab a mirror and say, David, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. He was praising God. Another time in the Bible where he was at a crossroads and his own men took up stones to kill him. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Out loud and with your whole being. 2 Samuel 6:20. Worship team, won't you just come on up? I feel like we need a little praise interruption right now. Then David, Father, I pray that you would put on us a special grace. Sometimes if we're stuck in a rut, we can't get out of it on our own. Most of the time it's that way. We need you to help. And I pray for anyone who may be stuck and hasn't praised you alone without the help of others. Lord, I ask for grace upon grace and help. Let him access that holy weapon you've put in our arsenal, the weapon of praise. Then David, right after a huge battle where he was victorious, he returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows." See, David had uncovered himself. The Bible says he was only in a linen ephod, which means he took his battle gear off and he was essentially in his undergarments, in his pajamas, in a linen ephod. And she's mocking him for that. You know, a good question to ask is, why did David do that? I'm sure it wasn't just because his suit of armor was heavy. It speaks to something that we need to do, which is uncover ourselves. Praise, it makes you, when you're letting go, it makes you vulnerable. In the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. And she's really speaking like a type of the condemning religious spirit that'll quiet you down and want to throw a wet blanket over your fire. So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father," zing, "and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight." How do you know you're getting praise right? When a little voice in your head says you've gone too far now. Settle down, calm down, become a little more dignified. Look at you. Oh, you're on the right track. Let go even more. Let go even more and break that alabaster box of control and of self-protection. And when that alabaster box is broken, the fragrance will go up and change the atmosphere of the entire space around you. But as for the maidservants, man, he was on a roll here, double zinger. But as for the maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Gentlemen, I hope who you, those of you who are single, are taking great notes. I mean, how are you going to help someone if they don't want to be helped, Pastor Mo? Amen. Lose yourself in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'll be a magnet. Amen. Amen. That's not your goal, but lose yourself in the presence of... People still want to get married, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready for a praise break or what? All right, let me read one more thing to you. Out of Jonah. We'll come back to your regularly scheduled sermon right after this short praise break. But I want to just read this to you from Jonah, chapter 2. Let's just start at verse 7, please. He's already in the belly of the whale, not having a good time. Going through the scriptures, it's good to just appreciate and see, what are some things that God likes? When he moves, what were some things that people were doing or saying right before he moved? Here's Jonah in the whale's belly. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Verse 8, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." with praise. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto dry land. His praise changed things and completely brought him the breakthrough and the deliverance. And by the way, do you know where he was where he landed when the whale spat him on dry ground? He landed on the shores of Nineveh, where he was supposed to be. I love that, because I've made mistakes in my life. I made mistakes in my life that I felt led to me being swallowed by a great fish. And you know, when you're in the belly of a great fish, remembering your own mistakes, you'll think, I wonder if I could ever get back to where the Lord really wanted me, or have I just messed up too much? And what you don't know is that the whole time the Lord is using that whale as an Uber to get you where you needed to be all along, just waiting for you to align yourself, repent, and say, hallelujah, anyhow, and he spits you out, and he redeems the time, and he's a restorer, and you end up on the beaches of Nineveh where you should have been all along. Amen. The level of your praise oftentimes determines how quickly you receive an answer to prayer. Determine to praise him so much before you see the answer manifested that you're all praised out by the time it arrives. There's things that happened that materialized, and it's not that I was blasé about it materializing. I just couldn't be any more happy than I already was, because you're so grateful you've already, before seeing it, when it comes, you're like I said, hallelujah. Amen. You can't, it's the same level. Amen. Praise God. Just be seated. We're going to receive communion in just a couple of minutes. I want to read this to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 15. Hallelujah. You know what biblical patience is? The Bible oftentimes tells us to be patient, and we often think it just means just get good at waiting. Patient. During rush hour in the subway, I'm just going to be patient. But biblical patience is not just waiting, but waiting with a good attitude. Amen. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Now, this is a prophet speaking to King Jehoshaphat. There's tens upon tens and tens of thousands of the enemy coming straight toward him. And he says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jericho. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. believe his prophets and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, you have to know how ridiculous and suicidal this looked in the natural. We're in a culture that's far removed from ancient war, but you look at just some of the older movies or modern movies that depict epic battles from the past, Braveheart or Troy or even Lord of the Rings, depending on whether the CGI got good yet or not. But nevertheless, tens of thousands with murder in their eyes running straight towards you, waving their swords. And God said, put the worship team out in the front. And it was a worship team of timbrels and harps. Imagine what that looked like in the natural. And they, by the way, were also dressed in linen. Imagine 50, 60 guys in linen with harps. Bring, bring. And then the other side, they're coming. Battle axes, swords, gunning at you, tens of thousands. And you got the Levites singing the beauty of holiness, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's a picture of what it's like. Satan is coming and raging for you, and you don't look too impressive, but you're there alone, and you begin to praise the Lord. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. When you praise the Lord, the Lord will smite your enemies before your face. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go and partake of communion. If you'll just pass out the communion elements, we're going to all receive communion together. If you would just hang on to the elements and we'll all take them at the same time. So communion is a time where we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves in light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And if you're missing something, you examine yourself and tell the Lord what you're missing. If you're missing freedom in any area of your life, you tell the Lord. And you, by faith, believe that as you partake of Jesus, remember, we're not partaking of matzah bread. The scripture says you're partaking of the risen Lord himself. You're reaffirming the holy covenant that he has in place with you. Communion is a time to experience God's power. You do so by faith. If you're experiencing sickness or disease in your body, you tell the Lord, I believe that I receive the healing that you purchased for me as I partake of this communion. If you're experiencing lack in your life, you tell the Lord, I believe that you cause my cup to overflow and you meet every single one of my needs right now. And I release my faith as I partake of communion. Whatever you need, Jesus is the answer. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is a great time to do so. Tell him, Lord, I believe in you. It can be as simple as that. Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I receive you. Jesus, I believe. You died on the cross in my place. I should have been punished for my own sin, but instead you took that punishment on yourself. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for Jesus. We're grateful for what you've done. And right now, as we approach your table, we thank you for the victory that you purchased with your own precious blood. And that victory you transferred over to us We believe that we receive all that Jesus died for us to have. Go ahead and partake of the body of the Lord. And partake of the blood of Jesus, which was shed for the forgiveness of all of your sin.
This has been an audio teaching by Pastor Bojan Jancic. If you'd like more information about other teachings or to learn more about City Light Church in New York City, please go to citylightnyc.com.